Boy, it's so good to have friends in Narcotics Anonymous. Gosh, whew. First, let me thank my high power for allowing me to make it down here safely and stand up here in front of you people and share my experience, strength, and hope. Secondly, I'd like to thank the program committee for asking me to do a workshop on hope. Prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I didn't have any hope. I came from a family, a mother with 9 kids, no father image. We lived in the projects. I wore secondhand clothes. And I always went to the outside for love because there was none in my house. You know, I always could go and become a member of someone else's family. And I fit in very well in somebody else's family. But when I got home, it was back to the chaos. And if you don't know what living with 9 brothers and sisters is like, I know some of y'all do. Keep coming back. And I was the child who was low-key and stayed in the background. You know, I never expressed how I felt about anything. You know, if I did anything, I did it on my own occurrence. I didn't ask anyone for any guidance. And if I got the guidance, I got it from the outside. So needless to say, I was brought up outside of my house. So from that, you can tell type of guidance that I was brought up on. It was all street life. I went from the reefer to the acid. No, first it was the cigarettes, then the reefer, then the acid, then the love boat. I tried to drink, and one drink and I was drunk. You know, I would go to clubs with my girlfriends, and I'd have one Coca-Cola. It was a chocolate drink I used to drink, and I'd be on the table asleep. And they used to say, "Damn, you ain't going with us no more." So I had to find something to, you know, boost me up because I wanted to hang out. You know what I'm saying? They wasn't going to let me hang out no more. And I got introduced to cocaine, you know, snorting it. Baby, please. I was ready to go then. I was ready to go. And from that point on, my life escalated to the lifestyle. Again, I had no hope. Hope is wishing for things. I didn't know what to wish for. So I continued on my journey of the lifestyle. I was a managing addict at one time. I could go to work, you know. And then it got to the point where, no, I was introduced to crack. That's what it was. I forgot about that. That's a difference. Snorting cocaine and crack is two different things. Okay? Because if I was snorting cocaine still, I'd probably still be out there. It was the crack. And at that time, it wasn't crack, y'all. It was called cocaine. We used to smoke cocaine. Somebody called me a crackhead one time. I said, "I don't smoke crack. I smoke coke." You know? Yeah, you know, they called me a crackhead, and I used to get mad, you know. I said, "I smoke coke," and I was a connoisseur, you know what I'm saying? I was, you know, my stuff had to be perfect, and, you know, But eventually, I became a crackhead. Okay? Eventually, I became a crackhead. It had gotten to the point where, though, I lived in the projects. Well, yeah, I lived in the projects. My mother lived in the projects. And she let me stay on her couch. But I would never go home until I was beat. Lived in the same neighborhood, wear the same clothes for 3 and 4 days. But I would never make it home until I just couldn't stand no longer. And at one point, somebody came to me and said, "Denise, don't you want some help?" "I don't need no help. I get high because I want to get high." And all those things that were happening to me were supposed to happen to me because I was out there getting high. I mean, the getting beat up, the being raped, and all that other stuff was supposed to happen. I did not hit a bottom in the streets because all those things go along with getting high. You know, the literature says, caught up in the grips of my addiction, that was me. I thought that I was going to get high for the rest of my entire life. That was my hope. But it wasn't until I went to jail. And I need to tell you how I got to jail. You know, I have a daughter, and at the age of 8, she was getting in the way of my getting high. So I sent her to North Carolina so I could get high successfully. And at the age of 14, she returned. She was no longer a little girl. And by the time she got back, like I said, I was caught up in the grips of my addiction. So she came back at my worst. And, you know, she adapted to the lifestyle. She didn't have a mother who could tell her what to do, go to school, da-da-da-this. She went out and became part of the lifestyle, too. So what happened was, you know, I would take people's stuff, and they would be trying to beat me up, but she would come to my rescue. That's my mother. Leave her alone. Da-da, you know, I was like, all right now. You know, I think I've been back and forth to Central Cell maybe about 10 times. I spent a night, they let me go. Well, the last time I went to Central Cell, it was for attempt to distribute. They let me out. They said, you got to come back to court though. I said, I ain't going back to court because I'm still getting high. If I go back to court, they're going to make me take a urine. I'm going to really get locked up. So I didn't go back. Well, of course I had a bench warrant. And it had gotten to the point to where my daughter was like, you know what? I am tired of this. She came to my rescue one more time. Two girls was commencing to jump me. She said, you know, I'm going to call the police on you. I said, girl, you better not call the police. I got a bench warrant. She said, I don't care. I'm calling the police. So I ran because I knew they was going to lock me up if they would have caught me. That night, I stayed at somebody's crack house. I don't know where it was at. And I finally got tired because I had been up on like a 3-day binge. And I was finally tired. It was time to lay down. So I went back home to my mother's couch and I laid down. Well, that morning, about 20 policemen came and knocked on her door. And I looked up, I said, well, damn, who are they looking for? You know? And they woke me up and they said, are you Denise Ray? I said, no. And I went back to sleep. You know? They said, are you Denise Ray? I said, shit, I'm going to jail. And that's where I went. I spent 5 months in jail. And it was the worst 5 months of my entire life. I don't ever in life want to go back to jail again. And what happened was, in those 5 months, I had a chance to look back over my life. Well, y'all, I didn't have one. I simply existed while I was out there. I didn't have a life. I had nothing to look forward to. So I said, well, I'm ready to get out of here. What can I do? You know, talking to the people, they say, well, you need to go talk to your lawyer, see if he can get you on a treatment program. I said, okay. I did that. My lawyer got me into a treatment program. It took 5 months, and it took about 10 trips back and forth to courts when they shackled you up and handcuffed you up and fed you peanut butter and jelly. You know, you sat there for hours and hours and hours shackled up like that. And I finally got to see a judge. And he sentenced me. I had two charges, the bench warrant and the attempt to distribute. And he sentenced me to a treatment program. And it was a 6-month treatment program, 1 month in and 5 months out. And he said if I did not complete that program, that I was going to have to do both charges consecutively. So I said, what's that? He said, once you do one charge, you got to do another. I said, okay. I surrender. You know what I'm saying? When I left that courtroom, all I knew is that I was getting ready to go to a 6-month treatment program. I didn't care what they wanted me to do. I was willing to do it as long as I did not have to go back to jail. So I finally went to treatment, and that's where my hope started coming in at. When I got to treatment, I really didn't know what to expect. I really didn't care. But I do know when I got there, I found out that I truly was an addict. Because prior to coming to Narcotics Anonymous, I was in denial. I did not think I was an addict. An addict is a person who shot dope. I don't shoot dope. I had 2 sisters to die as a direct result of this disease. They shot dope. I identified out. Today I know a drug is a drug is a drug. So when I got there, you know, there's people, they were standing around in circles and they were saying, my name is so-and-so and I'm an addict. I said, oh, well, I guess I am an addict. It was at that point that I accepted the fact that I truly was an addict. And that's where my help began, and that's where my hope began. In that treatment program, I started identifying with some of the things that I had did as a direct result of my addiction. You know, and I was so glad when I got here, they told me that I was not responsible for what I did because I had a disease. But they told me I was going to be held accountable for it. You know, but what that did for me was gave me some hope that I can make it and not think about all that stealing from my mother and all the things I did to my family. You know what I'm saying? What I did to my child. Because that guilt kills you, man. It eats you up when you first get in and you get clean, man. And I was just so glad that they told me that I was not responsible for that. I had a disease. And what that allowed me to do was to move forward in the program. I went from treatment to transitional. And in that transitional home was where I was with some other addicts who was just like me. And the counselors was trying to get us established back into society. So the first thing they said was, you gotta go out here and get a job. I was like, oh, Lord. Who's going to hire me? You know, I hadn't worked in like 8 years. I just got out of jail. Where am I going to get a job at? That hope, y'all. I got a job as it working in a temporary, I went to a temporary agency. I cleaned up bricks. I did swept floors. I did whatever I had to do because it was a job. It was time for Denise to be responsible for Denise. Okay, the transitional home was about to end, and I was on a temporary job. And see, when I got here, and they were bringing meetings to the treatment facility, they said, do not go back to where you came from, because you are doomed to repeat yourself. Well, I was like, uh-oh. I raised my hand. I said, well, I gotta go back home. What am I gonna do? They said, go upstairs, talk to one of them counselors and see if they can get you in transitional home. And that's what happened. That was the best suggestion I ever could have took in this program. The best suggestion I ever could have took in this program. Because it was in that transitional home where I started to learn how to communicate. I told you I simply existed before I got here. So I didn't know how to communicate. All I knew how to do was get high. Ask somebody got half, give me a hit, you know, all that kind of stuff. You know, that's all I knew. So, it was time to leave that transitional home. And I got scared. And I said, well, where am I going now? I got a temporary job. And people were leaving there and they were going to a recovery house where you had to pay rent. Well, I had a 30-day job. And after 30 days, that job was going to end. And I shared that with somebody. And they said, Denise, all you have to do is have a little bit of faith. that it's going to work out for you. I was like, okay. There's that hope again, y'all. And I moved on. And I moved into that recovery house. Of course, the job ran out. I was jobless for a month. I came into these meetings and I said, my name is Denise and I'm an addict and I don't have a job and I need to pay rent. Ain't nobody going to hire me. I got a record. They said, just keep trying. Just keep trying. Eventually, y'all, I got a job. And you know, when I got here, they say hope is wishing. I would be downtown, riding downtown, y'all, and I'd see the ladies going to their little office jobs and, you know, wearing their little nice clothes and, you know, I said, I want to be like that one day. I kept coming back, y'all. Today I'm that person. See, I came from, I worked at a Morton's department store. Let me just say this. For the first 5 years of my life, I worked a therapeutic job. Okay? Therapeutic. And yeah, I wanted to advance like everybody else was. You know, I wanted to be one of them people sitting up there with their gold and their nice clothes on, you know, and all that kind of stuff. That was the hope. That kept me coming back. I took crap off people. I had stuff thrown on me. I had been called bees. Thank God for the program of Narcotics Anonymous. Because when I was an addict out on the street, you called me a bee, I was ready to fight. You can't call me that and get away with it. I came in this program and I accepted being called a bee. Because I didn't want to act out and lose the job that I had. That work when it happened, you know. The guy was drunk. And he called me a bee. So I went politely and told the manager. He called me a bee, and I refused to be called that while I'm at work. Today I know the wisdom to know the difference. I ain't gonna say that for real, y'all. I gotta come clean with some. Because I you know, I kind of acted out, you know, about 2 hours ago here, you know what I'm saying? But y'all know what? It gets better. Because today I can identify with what I do, and I can talk about it with somebody, and I can be willing to apologize. You know what I'm saying? We are not perfect, and I know that. But we strive to be perfect. So, you know, the person that wants to apologize right now, and maybe later on tomorrow or something, maybe I'll try to apologize again. And the person was my husband, you know, we're not together, but I'm still holding on to a resentment. That's, you know, that's the bottom line. So, needless to say, y'all, 5 years working a therapeutic job, that hope of being that woman in an office building on computers, you know, that hope came alive. And in the literature, it says, staying clean must come first. I know today, as long as I stay clean, I can get and hope for anything I want in here. So I stayed clean, y'all, and I started achieving some things. I started setting some goals. I got into a relationship in this program. I didn't know how to do that. But I did it anyway. And at the time, I hadn't started working on those steps. Well, needless to say, in that relationship, I had to either work a step or roll. And I wasn't rolling nowhere. So it was time for me to do some work on me. A relationship will bring out your worst or your best character defects. Or it will allow you to see the person that you are. Because I tell y'all, prior to coming here, I didn't know who I was. I didn't know what I was here for. I didn't know what I was supposed to do in life. I didn't know. I was not brought up with the mother and the father, go to school, da-da-da-da-this, da-da-da-this.
I went to school because I wanted to sometimes to hang out. I dropped out of ninth grade. My mother didn't say anything, so, you know. So I came in here and I started doing some step work, y'all. I got into service. Eventually, I got married, got a house, got a car, got all the nice things. You know, and my husband and I, we had been living together and we got married prior to that for about 8 years. And I'm not saying it was a good relationship, I'm not saying it was a bad relationship. But sometimes, some things, if they're not worked on, they explode. And I know that to be true. So, last year, my husband moved out. And then he moved out while I was at work. And I came home. I said, oh, you're moving out already? And see, prior to that, we had talked about it. Okay, you're going to move out, and that's what's going to happen. But I want to be here when you do it. But he did it without me. Trust me, the police was at my house that day. I acted out on that one. My husband was ready to hit me with a hammer that day. And I called 911. But the bottom line is, y'all, I had to accept the fact that this was happening. And it was doomed to happen any time because, you know, sometimes, you know, they say the good can outweigh the bad. And a lot of times the good was outweighing the bad in our relationship, but the bad started outweighing the good. And I had to accept the part that I played in it. You know, I'm trying not to say it was his fault. If he hadn't have done this, if he hadn't have done that, if he hadn't have done that. It ain't about him, it's about me. And what I allow. And I know that today. You know? So, he moved out. And you know what? This is the kicker. 3 months later, I'm talking to my husband. He said, you know, I got a baby. I said, oh, really? Well, the baby was 8 months old. He moved out 3 months. Okay, you go figure. Anyway, I'm like, oh, okay. But y'all know what? The bottom line is, that's him. That's his behavior. And it's not me. But y'all need to know, I got a resentment right here that ain't going nowhere. And it needs to. And my sponsor. Y'all got one of them spiritual sponsors. You know what I'm saying? Let me just get that off. You know, sometimes you want to go talk to somebody, they're going to say, yeah, do this, do this, do that, do that, you know? The bottom line, she keeps telling me, baby, you got to pray for that man. You got to let go of that. I said, yeah, you're right. But it feels good just to hold on. You know, because every time I get the jug, I do. But y'all know what? It's affected me too. And I know that. And eventually, you know, I will lose that resentment. And that's going to really be the hope for me because I ain't ready. You know what I'm saying? And I know the longer I hold on, the more chaos I'll start. But he needs some drama too. You know what I'm saying? He needs to know. And it ain't like that for real, for real. You ain't kind of like that for real, for real. But y'all need to know the hope in this program is that I come in here and I tell y'all what's going on with me, and I hear y'all share about what's going on with y'all, and I hear somebody share the same situation that I just went through, and they got through it, and they did not use. That's the hope. The hope is the predecessors that come in here and show me how this thing works. The hope is I didn't come in here after my husband left and become a whore in recovery. Because see, y'all showed me that. If I don't come in here and I don't listen and I don't get somebody's experience, strength, and hope, I can't live. I did not start to live until I came into the program of Narcotics Anonymous. And that's been a little over 10 years ago. But I came in here willing and open to have somebody teach me how to live. Because I did not know how. And I have to admit that. I needed somebody to teach me how to dress. See, when I came in here and I was getting a little, you know, butt, you know, because I only weighed 89 pounds when I went to jail. You know what I'm saying? I was getting a little butt and everything. I started wearing tight clothes. Girl said, baby, you don't need to dress like that. If a man wants you, he'll want you whatever you got on. You ain't got to, because what you going to do is draw what you got on. So I had to learn not to come in here and wear the tight clothes, y'all. Because I had, you know, I had it going on back there. You know? You know what I'm saying? That was a good one. I forgot it, y'all. Until I heard this young lady share, well, I went into a meeting and I seen 6 men that I slept with. I don't want to feel like that. You know what I'm saying? See, that's hope. I don't want to feel like that. All I know is that if I don't continue to come in here and tell y'all what's going on with me, and don't continue to come in here and hear somebody share their experience, strength, and hope, then I can't get the hope. I got some beautiful women in my life, y'all. We go eat once a month. It's called the Restaurant Club. I got 5 minutes. They're good. Oh, it's called the Restaurant Club. And a group of ladies, we go out, we eat, we character assassinate each other. We do. But it'd be the truth about it. And you know, when you can take the truth about yourself and take it and change and take it and use it, you know what I'm saying? Because that's what it's about. Don't come in here thinking you got it all, you know it all. If you did, you wouldn't be here. I just thank God that I'm able to live life. You know, a sister said to me one day, well, this was during we had a convention in D.C., and my husband came there with this little girl. And of course, you know, I got some feelings. How dare him come in here with that gal? Oh, yeah, he act just like me. You know what I'm saying? She said, honey, what you worried about? You got a house, you got a car, you got a job, you got good credit. You don't look bad, do I? Don't look bad? Mm-hmm. So, you know, that's hope. Okay? And y'all know what? I just realized I don't know how to flirt. Let me get that out. Can y'all hear me? Okay. All I know, y'all, this program truly is a blessing for me. This program truly, truly works. And I'm going to keep coming back.
Okay. Thank you very much, Denise. Now I'd like to introduce our second speaker, Mr. Preston M.
My name is Preston. I am an addict. I grew. I ain't used to this kind of stuff, boy. I need to move around when I share and let the spirit be free. The topic is hope. I'm going to show two types of hope. I'm going to show the hope I had in my disease of addiction. You know, when there's four facets to my disease when I was out there using. There was four facets to it. First, it was fun. Then it was a job. then it was a career, and then it was my life. You know, I share my disease. I keep my pain up front, man, because you know what? I suffer from a fractured personality, and I could change my mind at any time. And that's how my disease works. My disease lives in my past, and it lives in my present. Anything to get me outside myself, make me feel good, I will obsess over it. I will compulse over it. Food, girls, work, you name it, I will obsess over it. Money, property, prestige, all that shit. I'm gonna try to keep this clean. I'm gonna try. I'm trying to get better, right? And my hope is, man, that I will continue to be a part of this awesome program. You know, because when I was caught up in the disease of addiction, man, I had hope. I ain't gonna sit up in front of nobody. When I was caught up in the disease of addiction, I had a lot of hope. I had a lot of hope that nigga would come back with my 10 hours that I worked my butt off for. He told me go stand 10 blocks and wait until he get there. I had a lot of hope. I had a lot of hope when the sticker boys ran up on me. I had a lot of hope when they locked me up and pray somebody come get me. I had a lot of hope in the disease of addiction. Every day on Sunday, I wanted to get high all the way to the next Sunday. Don't tell me about no hope. I was hoping I'd kill myself on a regular basis. There's two types of hope. Just like there's two powers. Negative and positive. Yeah, I had it out there, but I got it from here. Sister just talked about. But when I was out there, y'all, it wasn't no joke. Wasn't nothing funny in the end of my addiction. Wasn't nothing. At the end of me, baby, it was beans and bread, daily bread, soup kitchen, parks, man. Going at John Hopkins Hospital to stay warm. And my disease told me the same thing over and over and over and over and over. You all right? You cool. You're a soldier. You're a daddy and boo soul. I'm sleeping in the park. It's like 20 below zero. And he's telling me I'm all right. I'm at a point now in my addiction, y'all. It's about being slick, picking cigarettes. So I'm just picking them up. If you don't remember where you come from, you will go back. Money, body, prestige, they people are following here. I had things when I was using at one time. I had the car, I had the girl, I had the $24,000 a year job, I had all of it. I didn't need nothing when I was using. I gave it away. When I'm using, everything costs too much. I don't need no haircut. It costs too much. Keep the chicken box. I need a pint of wine. I don't need a food when I'm using. I need a pint of wine. I understand. That's why they put it in a prologue. It's for me. Because I'll use anything just to get outside myself. Steal the day and come in my ninth year. If I don't stick with this program, I'll obsess and compulse over some of y'all in here too. I'm still capable of stealing. I will rob you. I will break in your house. clean. Don't you think for a minute, because you get clean, you walking on air going in caves. Now here you go. This is where the misfit fit. I belong to Narcotics Anonymous. This is mine. That belongs to me. I earned that. I ain't giving it to nobody. Nobody. Not no damn newcomer either. Go get your own. I'm about being real. I can laugh at my foolishness today, y'all. Just like a lot of us can, man. That's the hope. That's the hope that we can come in here together and look at that force and that courage of defense and all that baby and all that bull stuff we did out there. And still, we can hold that goddamn head up. I don't care what nobody says. People out there know I may not understand, but I know in here y'all understand me. This is where I come get my help at. People out there don't understand. They say, you killed my son. You want me to forgive me? No. Society ain't as forgiving. I keep this thing real. I keep it real. See, because I ain't using drugs, it's still there. It's just in another department of my life. The relationship is on the job. It goes to other people's kids. I said, I ain't got none. Because when I was using, I was not trying to be responsible for nobody. I paid $300 every time. Now I want one and can't get none. You will pay for your actions. Sooner or later, there will be a bill in the mail. Trust me. They say around here, fake it till you make it. Okay? Fake it in the fellowship. You better not try to fake the 12 and 12. You can't fake an honest program. I'm sharing my experience with different hosts. I tried it. I walked around Narcotics Anonymous for 2 months spiritually painted up. Using can be optional. Practice bad behavior, you'll get bad results. Now here it is, your higher power and give you a new lease on life, and some of us still want to practice our insanity. We're talking about the second step, y'all. We took the rotten ass up out the gutter, and we still want to practice bad behaviors. Talking to you, Preston. You will go to jail in recovery. I know I did. By my own admission. It's a good feeling to turn yourself in, because ain't no use of you trying to move forward and you got records of your past and your past. Talking about some courage and the second step that goes along with the faith. You don't do nothing around here, you don't get nothing. Don't be mad at nobody else who's moving ahead. Take that shit somewhere else. Share it with your sponsor. I was real in the street, and I'm real in recovery. This ain't no joke. When I come to Narcotics Anonymous, I come here to save my life and change my life. I want some things. This time, I'm going to keep them. I got some stuff. I got a little bit of something. But guess what? Let me start working this program. All of it go right back in the cooker. Yeah, well. Everything fits in the cooker. Bring me that house. I'll sell it. I am the king of pawn shops. I love it. 20 inch on my back. My disease love for me not to pay attention to it. Oh, ooh, I'm going to send a girl your way to distract you. okay. And I would do that. I'll go ahead and get with the girl. And she told me once, she said, all I want to do is do you. Shit. Girl, I want you to be my woman. Possibility of being my wife. I'm talking about the compulsion and obsession. But all she wanted to do was do me. And when I did her, I was caught up, y'all, but when I did her, I ain't want her no more. Because of the compulsion and obsession I accomplished, I love the thrill of the chase, just like with drugs. It ain't gone away, it's just in a different form. Some of y'all sitting out there know exactly what I'm talking about. You know you better leave it alone. But you know what? We love pain. We love pain and resist change. Don't do nothing. Won't get nothing. One of the best things I ever did was invest in the 12 and 12. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to fall short. Well, ain't none of y'all had no right to judge me. You know why? How can a rotten, no good son of a, you know what, judge someone just as rotten as him? Now some of us, we get holy then die. We come in here with that. Stop right. I ain't gonna violate now the tradition why I'm here today. You know, my game today is investment. I must invest in 12 and 12, and I must change on a regular basis. You know, my hope today is it's a must. I must come to meetings. I must. See, I already tried it. I've been around Alcoholics Anonymous for a long time. Around, not in. You know, you want to talk about some hope? How about when the judge sent me to Narcotics Anonymous, and I fought that off? How about when police locked me up? I fought that off. How about when the judge sent me to treatment? I fought that off. I'm talking about the negative hope. But in the midst of all the negative, there was a positive because of my high power working in my life. But see, my will. When I'm one of my things, I ain't listening to God or nobody else. Third step stuff. When I am in charge of a situation that's good to me, I ain't listening to nobody. Because you can say what you want. The final decision about around here, y'all, is that you can make the final decision of what's best for you. I don't give a damn what my sponsors say. I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm going to pay the consequences. And he tells me that on the regular. He said, let me know when you finish. He told me this morning, you've been isolating, what's going on? I said, I'm caught up in a feeling. But I got hope this too shall pass because it's only a feeling. And that's what we suffer from. You have to learn how to hold on and go through your feelings, your actions, thoughts, and behavior. That's where your disease lives. Right in the middle of your big ears. And that's how it works you over. It works you over and you don't even be paying attention. Oh, I'm clean. They'll fly your ass right up out of here. We got newcomers in here telling people how to do step work. I give them a hug and tell them thanks for sharing. Can't tell them nothing. Today gonna crackheads come in here, can't tell y'all nothing. I got a brother here, crackhead, right? He don't know nothing about shooting dope, right? But he tell me he's sponsoring me. And I always tell him, you know what, you're right. Because a closed mind cannot grasp a new idea. The basic text tells us that. So if the person don't want to stop using enough of you, then you can't give him a shot of hope because his mind is already made up. You have to be open-minded to receive, and the second step talks about. I have a lot of hope that no matter what goes on in my life, I ain't got to use. A shot of hope. That's where I get my humility, but that's where I know when I come in my goals and know I'm going to be all right. I don't give a damn what I'm going to do. The dog can go, the job can go, the dog can go. I'm going to be all right. Because y'all showed me how to get through things.
ain't going to let it. I was a hustler in the street, and I'm a hustler in Narcotics Anonymous. I'm talking about saving my life. I'm talking about changing my life. You don't want nothing here, you get nothing. And I'm like this. If you don't want nothing here, just keep doing what you're doing. I'm talking about, man, having a second chance at life, man, and coming through an awesome program full of hopes and dreams. And then you get clean, you get complacent. Now here ain't happening. Ted, boy, back up. I got a high power today. Not a lower denominator. Not today. I want some things in Narcotics Anonymous. Some of y'all probably missed this. This is what I want. I got some. I want some more. I want some peace. I want some joy. I want some responsibilities. I want some ambition. I want some dreams. All of that. And Narcotics Anonymous is going to give it to me. You know why? I'm in the process. I see the evidence. You sit in Narcotics Anonymous, you're blessed. Think about all the people you use with. Still caught up in a disease of addiction. You want to talk about hope. You don't need no more hope than that. All you got to do is go home, look in the mirror, and say thank you. I'm in Narcotics Anonymous. My friends are still caught up. And family members are still caught up. Thank you. With hope comes gratitude. You got to appreciate what God has given you. God has given you a 12-step program. And you don't want to do nothing about it but rest on your laurels. Okay. I say it once. I say it in Baltimore all the time. I say it here. I'll be here when you get back. If you make it back. They say some will die for others to live. I'm trying to live today. If man made it, I can have it. That's what y'all told me. I had to be willing to do the work to get it. A lot of people sitting out here, man, know this program works, man. You got a day clean, raise your hand. Tell me this program don't work. I couldn't put a day together. I couldn't get a day together, y'all. Couldn't get a day. But my process was my process. And once I started running, getting out the way, and I let my higher power move in, because I was not, she said, I was not going to stop using. Oh, no. No. I had to become spiritually bankrupt to surrender. Then came the hope. Then came the honesty. Then came the trust. But I had to totally surrender. It beat me down. It beat me. Spiritually, physical, and mentally. And that's how I must deal with it. Spiritually, physical, and mentally. Ain't nothing hard about this program. You know the hardest part about this program? Second step. Our unwillingness to do it. Let's do some step work. Oh, no, no, no. No, I don't want to do no step work. You know why? You know why you don't want to do no step work? Because you don't want to change. I bet you, if you do some step work right here, you can change. And people that you think are your friend will not be your friend. They will not be your friend. You know why? Because you're doing something different. That old A behavior will still be here once the drug is gone. After those days, you clear what you're going to get. I'm in the process. When will you get to the solution? I'm in the process. Motherfucker got 10 years, he's still in the process. But they got a book out called It Works How and Why. If you read it in the 4-step, they say people who won't do a 4-step eventually will use. Read it. Read it, it's in there. And the bad part about it, it ain't always about the drug. When you come in this process, you're talking about hope. This thing is bigger than what you ever thought it was. It's bigger than what. This is one of the best things you will ever invest in. I'm going to share this, I'm going to shut it down, man. I love Narcotics Anonymous. I don't discriminate with no drugs, because when I was out there, I used all drugs. I use all drugs. This is Narcotics Anonymous. I don't glorify shooting dope, smoking crack, or none of that. I use all drugs, and all drugs makes my life unmanageable. And I found out today so do situations. You know? And the only hope I can give anybody is please keep coming back, y'all. But invest in the program, man. Put something in to get something out, man. Freedom comes at a price around here, man. And all it is doing working on you. What Michael Jackson said a long time ago, the man in the mirror. Yep. Got to make that change. That's where it starts at, and that's where it's going to end at. Thanks for allowing me to share.
Thank you very much, Preston.